This is Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Hamas kills three Israeli teens, one of which is also an American citizen. The Obama administration's response? That Israel should show restraint.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The military launching airstrikes against dozens of targets in the Gaza Strip overnight. The strikes following rocket attacks on southern Israel. And this all coming hours after the tragedy of those three missing Israeli teenagers discovered in the West Bank, apparently murdered, allegedly, by two Hamas activists. John Huddy is live in the Israeli hometown of the American victim, that is 16-year-old Naftali Frankel. His family still in Brooklyn, New York.
There are 34, a total of 34 airstrikes against Hamas targets. Now, no one in particular has claimed responsibility, but again, the Israeli military is searching actively for those two Palestinian militants with connections to Hamas who are suspected in the abductions of the three teens.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Since this began, you and the administration in general has been urging restraint, calling on both sides to show restraint. Does that remain your message, even with this new development?
It certainly does. We have, as you noted, been in touch with both sides and have been urging continued security cooperation, that the Israelis and the Palestinians continue to work with one another on that. And we certainly would continue to urge that in spite of, obviously, the tragedy and the enormous pain on the ground as a result.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., joined by David French in Franklin, Tennessee. And our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Folks, we've got a lot to get to today, and Jay is going to be joining us by cell from London momentarily. We are going to have a very important update on the seven cases that we've been litigating against the HHS mandate. We're going to have ACLJ Senior Counsel Frank Mannion join us later in the broadcast to give you that update. But folks, we need to start today with this tragic news that's coming out of Israel. The three teenagers who were abducted on June 12th, one of which is also an American citizen. Folks, they have unfortunately been found in a shallow grave in the West Bank, and all signs are pointing towards Hamas as the responsible party. Of course, that portion of this tragedy is no real surprise. Hamas praised the kidnappings when they happened. But David, I want to go quickly to you in this segment of the broadcast because you have extensive experience in this region. This is an unspeakable evil perpetuated by a terrorist group. Our government needs to be unequivocal in its response.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was a kidnapping of children, a murder of children. One of them has dual Israeli-American citizenship. That means he's an American citizen. And, you know, what's stunning here is that the Obama administration, in response to this, yes, it offers condolences, but you know what? It still deals with Hamas. It still won't back down from dealing with this new Palestinian unity government and calls on Israel to exercise restraint. That's stunning. I mean, have we reached the point where we're even appeasing the killing of children? It looks like that's where we are now.
You know, it's silence in the face of evil. It is an inability to distinguish your allies from your enemies. And folks, this is foreign policy that is so basic. It's so fundamental. It's as simple as this. We don't make deals with terrorists, and we don't send terrorists taxpayer dollars. And I just add this. It's not only common sense. It's not only easy foreign policy. It is the law of the United States. The law of the United States mandates that we do not send taxpayer dollars to terrorist organizations, and yet we continue to do exactly that with Hamas. If you've had enough, if you say no more dollars for terrorists, no more deals with jihadists, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Make your voice heard. No more deals, no more dollars for terrorists. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. We will have Jay joining us live from London after this break.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We are being joined right now by Jay live from London. Jay, in the opening segment of the broadcast, we set the stage of this unspeakable tragedy that has just happened out of Israel, where the three teenagers, one of which is a dual American citizen, were killed. All signs show that Hamas is responsible. And Jay, I'd be particularly curious to hear what you're hearing there. And also, the word we're getting from the Obama administration centers around two words, and they're both aimed at Israel. One, that they should show restraint, and one, that they would that they should not destabilize this situation. It's exactly the wrong message to be sending.
Well, Stan, let me tell you this, and I, as you know, I am actually in Oxford at one of the universities here doing a program involving the whole situation of the religious conflict in the Middle East and the conflict generally in the Middle East, including Israel, West Bank, the Palestinian Authority. So I'm right in the middle of this with a whole team of ACLJ lawyers that are here with me. Jordan's here, Skip Ash, Andy Economo, and others, Stuart Roth. So there's a whole team of us here participating in this. But let me tell you a couple of things. Number one, from the perspective here in the UK, Mark Regev, who's the spokesperson for the Prime Minister and someone that I've known for a number of years, yesterday made it very clear that the Israeli Defense Forces, as well as the intelligence agency, Mossad, have information uncontrovertible. Can't be controverted. It is fact that this was a Hamas attack. That is not even a negotiating this point or a point of contention. It's fact. Hamas claimed it early on when this was going on, and that has become clear, number one. Number two, the idea that the President of the United States is telling the Israelis to not destabilize the situation and to not increase the tension in the region is preposterous when it is Israeli children, underscored, that have been killed here. And by the way, one of them, as you mentioned, is an American. And again, this is an American kid, 16 years old, and we're urging restraint. Have you heard anyone yet from the Palestinian Authority really come out and condemn this? Has anybody from Hamas come out and condemned this action aimed at kids that they threw into a cave? So what we have to ask ourselves is, what are we expecting out of the Israeli government here, to sit back and let this happen? The answer to that has to be no. The Obama administration should be ashamed of themselves. And frankly, the call along a number of members of Congress, and Than, you know this, to defund the Palestinian Authority and terrorists generally, I think needs to be a resounding statement here. We just cannot let this kind of terrorism, which is what it is, go unchecked.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's so far from the first time as well, Jay. I mean, when these three teenagers were kidnapped, Hamas praised the kidnapping. So this should not be a surprise to the Obama administration. But the other thing that David and I underscored, and I'd like you to weigh in on this, we underscored this in the first segment of the broadcast. This is something that is not the administration's to decide when it comes to whether or not to provide aid to a terrorist organization. This is against U.S. law.
But the problem is the administration, once again, as if they didn't get enough chastisement over the last week between the Supreme Court recess appointment cases, between the Hobby Lobby series of cases, you would think they would get the message. What is that message? Don't tell an overreach when you don't have the authority to do it. But now we're telling an ally of ours, our most stable ally in the region, basically sit down, stand down, do nothing when your citizen children are being attacked. And one of them is, again, I go back to this fact that one of them is an American. And what is it about this administration that they just don't get it? You know, the UK's condemning David Cameron, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Britain, came out and condemned this immediately with unspeakable direction. I mean, clear and concise. And we're issuing these, you know, waffling statements about restraint on behalf of the Israeli Defense Forces. I think it's a moment of shame in a sense. But look, the American people have the right to speak out. I want to encourage everybody that's listening to me right now. I'm coming to you from Oxford in England. You go to ACLJ.org or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. Everybody that's listening to me needs to send a message to our president to not tell the Israelis to stand down and do nothing when their kids are being killed by terrorists. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And everybody needs to speak out on this. This is an unbelievable event, and by the way, and David I know knows this, Hamas called for this. Their leadership has been calling for this kind of attack on civilians. So, David, they're acting as if this is catching everybody by surprise. Hamas has been calling for this for months.
Oh, absolutely. This is Hamas's standard playbook. They intentionally target Israeli civilians. They've been doing it ever since their existence. As Than said, they've celebrated this. They're vowing retribution for any Israeli attack. And what does the Obama administration do? It not only says, oh, Israel, don't destabilize. Well, a situation is not stable when your enemies are killing kids. It also condemned the violence. You don't condemn the violence. You condemn Hamas, the perpetrator of the violence.
But you know what, David and Than, this goes right back to the issue we've been talking about for months. It doesn't fit the narrative. It just doesn't fit the administration's narrative. And since it doesn't fit the narrative, they choose to do nothing. And I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that we, the American people, again, that's why I want to urge people to really raise your voice on this, because you can get a result if you speak out. We need everybody that's listening to join with us in this fight. It's easy to do it. You're signing a petition that says don't, which is law, by the way, saying you can't fund these groups. But the White House is doing another one of their pen and phone moves, redefining who and what are terrorist groups. And so that Hamas joins with Fatah, and all of a sudden it's not a terrorist organization, which is the whole thing is so absurd. It's beyond any ability to reconcile with law and fact. But again, I'm at Oxford University dealing with this issue. Right now with officials really from around the globe that are participating in this. And that's where we need everybody that's listening to speak out. And the easiest way to do it, of course, is our website at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. And Than, what is the sense of Congress right now? Because the legislation is crystal clear.
The law is crystal clear. In fact, two pieces of law, Jay. First of all, generally speaking, as you know, the Patriot Act says that we cannot fund terrorists. But more specifically than that, in 2006, the House and the Senate passed and the president signed into law legislation that with crystal clarity described the situation that we are in. It said, if there is a unity power-sharing government in Palestine that includes Hamas, the United States shall not provide aid or dollars to that unity government. That's the situation that we're in. So these dollars that are going to the Palestinian government at this point, they're illegal. And Jay, just let me quickly say this. We're not talking about pennies here. We are talking about $5 billion over the last 20 years. So we are no longer bystanders in this situation. We are actively engaged in supporting this unity government.
No, we're actually engaged in an accomplice to an act of terror. I mean, it's the truth of the matter. If you look at it legally and governmentally, I mean, that's what we've done here. And again, I go back and echo what David said. I mean, there's nothing stable about the region when 16-year-old kids are being killed by Hamas. I mean, it's just that's not stable. So to urge the Israeli, you know, has the president urged Hamas to condemn the act? Has anybody heard that come out? Has the president said the word Hamas in all this? One time.
I have not seen it. I have not seen it, Jay. And because you know what? If he did, then he would be even in more of an untenable position.
Yeah. So, again, folks, we have got to get you to speak out because, obviously, the White House isn't going to be doing the job here. Again, let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And, by the way, you know, this, I'm going to make a point here. I mean, I'm talking to you from England, from Oxford. I was on Fox News last night on Sean Hannity's program talking about the Hobby Lobby win. And that's great news. Those are great wins. But you know what? The next day, you got to continue the fight where that fight is. And this is becoming a big one in the Middle East right now. And while we're thrilled with the victories the Lord provided, we had one of our cases. I don't know if Frank Mannion's been on yet, but he'll be on later. The court granted review today, vacated the opinion below, and remanded it down, which is a Supreme Court win for us, which we're thrilled with. But the fact of the matter is the battle continues on issues that are of monumental significance. And again, as I turn the program back over to Than and Dave, we need to really rally our supporters, our troops, so to speak, to engage this issue.
Folks, you heard Jay talking about the appeasement strategy coming out of this administration. As we head to a break, I want to quickly play you from sound from the State Department talking about their response to this tragic killing. Let's go ahead and play this. This is Bite 2, questioning at the State Department.
Since this began, you and the administration in general has been urging restraint, calling on both sides to show restraint. Does that remain your message even with this new development?
It certainly does. We have, as you noted, been in touch with both sides and have been urging continued security cooperation, that the Israelis and the Palestinians continue to work with one another on that, and we certainly would continue to urge that in spite of, obviously, the tragedy and the enormous pain on the ground as a result.
Folks, you heard it from the State Department. They encourage restraint for both sides. Let me describe these two sides. One of them is our ally, our staunch ally. The other side, a terrorist organization that just killed three Israeli teenagers, one of which is an American citizen. There is no comparison between those two sides. It is time for our government to speak out unequivocally and in one voice defend the state of Israel. The way we do that is we do not make deals with terrorists. We do not send our taxpayer dollars to terrorists. That includes Hamas. That includes the unity government in Palestine. If you want to stand with us, call 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. After this break, an important update on our litigation involving the HHS mandate.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the president and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and we are going to go back to the important issue of not making deals with terrorists momentarily. We are going to take your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. And in the meantime, folks, if you want to sign that petition, standing with us to not send any more taxpayer dollars to terrorists, to not make any more deals with jihadists, you can do it by calling 877-989-2255. But folks, we're going to shift for just a moment back to this very important decision that we were talking about yesterday. A decision for religious freedom that was handed down by the Supreme Court yesterday involving the HHS mandate and the forced coverage of contraceptives and abortifacients. As you know, as Jay has explained to you many times, we have seven clients that we've been litigating for on this matter. I wanted to get you an update on what this ruling means for those cases, for those clients specifically. Joining us on the line right now to give you that update is ACLJ Senior Counsel Frank Mannion. Now, Frank has been front and center on this litigation for us. Frank and his team have been litigating on behalf of these seven clients. Frank, I want to say thanks for coming on to give an update. Congratulations on a job well done. Tell us exactly what yesterday's ruling in Hobby Lobby means for the clients that the ACLJ represents.
Well, Than, the dominoes are already falling. Today, this morning, the Supreme Court granted our petition for review in the Gilardi case, a case that we considered a partial victory but not a complete victory in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And they denied the government's petition for review in our Cordy case. What this means as a practical matter is, in the Gilardi case, the court below will be told to review what it did in light of Hobby Lobby and fix the mistakes that we say they made, and the Supreme Court agrees with us. And in Cordy, the Supreme Court is saying to the government, sorry, you lose. The Seventh Circuit got this right in the first place because we won a complete victory at the Seventh Circuit. It also means that all the dominoes will start to fall. The Hobby Lobby case was the first one. The Eighth Circuit's been sitting on our appeal in the Frank O'Brien case. Remember, Frank O'Brien, a client of ours, was the first business owner to sue over the abortion pill mandate. His case got leapfrogged by Hobby Lobby just because of the way cases get scheduled in courts. But he was the first. He's been waiting for a decision since I argued his appeal last October. In the wake of Hobby Lobby, the Eighth Circuit will 100% certainly reverse the court below that dismissed his case. There's two other cases in the Eighth Circuit waiting for the O'Brien decision, and there's two others in the Seventh Circuit that will now be decided the right way in the wake of Hobby Lobby. So that's how it works. Once the Supreme Court issues a pronouncement on an important legal issue, all these cases in the lower courts have been waiting for clarity will now get decided, and thankfully in a way that they should be decided.
Well, Frank, one of the things that I've noticed is the left has been going crazy about this ruling. I mean, the viciousness with which they're attacking the Supreme Court. And my theory, you know, even though Hobby Lobby still covered 16 out of 20 of the contraceptives, not covering abortion pills, they're really, really, truly upset about how the regulatory state has been trimmed back, how their efforts to essentially take over the operations of these private businesses has been trimmed back. And I think that's one of the truly significant parts of this ruling.
Yeah, it's almost amusing in a way to watch the hysteria. David has a great blog piece up on that today. But I think to help those people get through this and maybe, you know, get them over the next few days, they ought to, instead of thinking about Hobby Lobby, just think about the kosher deli. And this was something that Justice Breyer brought up at oral argument. Unfortunately, he didn't follow through on that in his opinion yesterday or his signing on the dissent. But don't think about Hobby Lobby. Don't think about contraception or abortifacients. Think about the kosher deli. Should the owners of a kosher deli have to comply with a regulation that says all businesses are required to sell pork just because they choose to incorporate? Hardly any fair-minded American would say, well, yes, of course they should. Their instinctive and legally and constitutionally correct reaction to that would be, of course they shouldn't. And that's really what this case reaffirms. If you don't like to think about contraception or abortion pills or Hobby Lobby, think about any other business, any other family business whose owners have a strongly held religious belief that says, let's say they refuse to be open, their Sabbath is Friday or Saturday or Sunday, and there's a regulation that requires everybody to be open 7 days a week. Should they really have to forego their religious beliefs just because they choose to operate in a corporate form? The answer is, of course, no. And if that helps people get over the hysteria, they ought to think about it that way.
Well, that's reason and logic, Frank. I don't think they're applying those concepts to this dispute.
I'm afraid you're right about that.
But one last question. We've got a whole series of nonprofit cases that are winding their way up through the court. This case dealt with the for-profits. What do you see happening in the nonprofit cases?
Well, what's interesting is yesterday, within hours of the Hobby Lobby decision, in two different circuits, the 11th and the 10th, nonprofits were granted injunctions in light of the Hobby Lobby decision. Now, over the next year or so or more, there'll be a lot of debate about whether Hobby Lobby says nonprofits get injunctions or not. There's some reason to be concerned about that. But at least Justice Alito made it clear that they were not deciding the question of whether the current accommodation comports with RFRA with regard to the nonprofit. So that's an issue that's still out there, continues to be litigated, and we're going to have to keep a close eye on it over the next year or so.
Folks, it's been a long effort here at the ACLJ. Frank has been front and center on it. Frank, it's great news, great work to you and to all of your team there. Thanks for the update. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
Folks, that right there is why we are so grateful for all of your support. I mean, you don't always hear from people like Frank or Ed White or Jeff Surtees or the rest of the team of attorneys that's been working on these cases, but they really are in the trenches for all of you doing this work because of your support. Our work really depends on your support. So if you can help us financially, you are helping people like Frank litigate these cases directly, and that is why we get results like we saw yesterday at the Supreme Court. For those that want to stand with us in that work, you can always do so by donating online at aclj.org, and we are grateful to Frank for giving us a few minutes today. Let's go back to the phone lines. You can call us and be a part of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to Jesse calling from California on line two. Jesse, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate what you guys are doing, but we, the American people, should be ashamed of ourselves for not having 200,000 people signing that petition within a week, because it's crazy what's going on and everyone's upset about it. Everyone's mad about it. Hey, all of us out there, get on that petition, do what's right for this country.
Well, Jesse, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm going to get David to weigh in on this because, David, we have just seen so clearly this administration is content to have their own way if the American people let them. But when the American people speak up in great numbers, just like Jesse is saying, we really can impact change.
Well, that's exactly right, and we don't have to go too far back in ACLJ history to tell that story. We had well over 200,000 that signed our petition to not send F-16s to the Muslim Brotherhood, transform the terms of the national debate. I mean, we ended up with that was going to be a transaction that was going to pass without notice, without protest, without dissent. More than 200,000 showed up and weighed in on that. And the next thing you know, we had congressional resolutions attempting to stop that deal. So when people speak out, it makes a big difference.
And this is an easy one, folks. You don't send dollars to people who are trying to kill you, to people who are your avowed enemies. You don't make deals with them. And further, this violates U.S. law. This is an easy call. If you want to stand with us, you can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing online at aclj.org. I go back to what David said earlier in the broadcast. Far from being a stable situation in the Middle East is in chaos. Sending another quarter of $1 billion to Hamas while they're killing Israeli teenagers, that is not going to stabilize the situation. This administration needs to focus on Hamas and not telling Israel what to do. If you want to stand with us, call 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. After this break, your phone calls.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., David French in Franklin, Tennessee. We are going to get right to your phone calls. I appreciate you holding on the line while we got through those important updates for you folks. We're going to start with Yokoff calling from Ohio on line three. Yokoff, you're on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. I happen to be Jewish, and I'm a little bit upset about what's happening in Israel, and I'm equally upset about what's happening here with the incumbent of the office of president. Israel's at fault all the time. If we defend ourselves, we're at fault. I don't apologize for being a Jew. It was an accident at birth, if you will. I just happen to feel that we're being treated totally unfairly all the time.
Well, you know, I can't argue with you. I mean, what other country in the world do people condemn for basic acts of self-defense? I mean, that's the thing that is so striking to me. Israel is singled out. In fact, if you look at the majority, at any given time, the majority of the resolutions in the UN are often directed at Israel. And Israel lives under threat of extinction, surrounded by enemies who want it extinct every day since it declared independence. So, you know, the idea that the Obama administration will respond to the murder of children by, quote, condemning violence. No, you condemn the murderers. You condemn the murderers by calling Israel for restraint. What country is restrained when its children are murdered? That, you know, this situation, Dan, it gets my blood boiling. It really does. It's outrageous.
Yeah, too often, David, this administration has thought first about how the Islamic world will react. You know, the president of the United States, when he is facing a foreign policy matter, he is supposed to think first about the ramifications for the United States of America and think about the impact on the rest of the world second. That has been reversed for this president. Part of standing for American interests first is standing by our ally. We have had no greater ally than Israel. I completely agree with Yokoff. The president really needs to step up his game on this issue. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Bruce is next. He's calling on line one from Colorado. Bruce, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. My question relates to the three children in Israel that were murdered. I was wondering, is there anyone in the Palestine Hamas authorities that are saying they'll leave no stone unturned to find the murderers of these children, or are they basically saying good riddance, it's three less Israelis?
Oh, the answer to that's very clear. Hamas has been celebrating this event. Hamas has been encouraging the kidnappers, and, well, they're behind it. You know, that's the thing that is so striking here. The Palestinian Authority will name schools after suicide bombers, will celebrate murderers. Hamas will celebrate kidnappers and murderers, people who kill children in the dark of the night. And Israel, which has a rule of law, Israel, which upholds human rights, Israel, which is more restrained in its conduct of warfare than the United States is, and that's a true statement, is condemned internationally. That's right is wrong, up is down, black is white. It's an astonishing double standard. So Hamas is responsible for it. Hamas is proud of it. And the Obama administration says restraint and won't even condemn them by name.
I'm going to go to Manny calling on line six from California. Manny, I've got about 30 seconds before a hard break.
Hello?
Manny, you're on the air. Quickly, please.
Oh. All right. Well, basic is this message, your work is great. I mean, just God's work, what you guys are doing. But this message is for the president. He must go. he should step out of the office. The office I do respect, but him as a man, he must go because he does not have courage, dignity, and honor.
Jumping in, Manny, because I'm up on a hard break. Certainly understand your point. Let me say this. The president certainly has an obligation to follow U.S. law and to stand by our allies. The law could not be more clear in this situation. No more dollars for terrorists. No more deals made with jihadists. If you want to stand with us, if you want to make that demand of this president, call now 877-989-2255 or go to ACLJ.org. As we go to a break, stand with Israel. Call 877-989-2255.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the president and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about this breaking Supreme Court decision on religious freedom, folks. You know, this is a case that has been billed as one of access to contraception when really, folks, it is about so much more than that. It is about the fundamental right of the American people to hold a fervently held religious belief and to have to be free from government intrusion into that. I think that today's ruling certainly backs up that right. It strengthens that right. It acknowledges that it is a fundamental right that all of us have. And folks, in the next segment of the broadcast, you are going to hear an interview that Jay did immediately following the release of this decision on Fox News. He was on with Martha McCollum and Judge Napolitano reacting to that. But first, I want to play for you two parts of an interview that Jay did with Sean Hannity on his radio broadcast, looking at last week's Supreme Court decision, the Noel Canning versus the National Labor Relations Board, and also giving him an update, his listeners an update on the IRS scandal. I'm going to play part one of that interview in this segment of the broadcast. Part two is going to be immediately after the break, and then following that part two interview, you're going to hear Jay's reaction right in real time to this Hobby Lobby decision. So let's go ahead and play part one of this interview with Jay on with Sean Hannity.
My understanding is that the backup of emails was only lasted for 6 months. That's correct?
Yes, it's a disaster recovery system, and it backs up for 6 months in case the entire system goes down.
And that was in place in 2011?
That was the rule in 2011, policy.
So when Lois Lerner figured out on June 13th that her computer crashed, and there have been emails showing that she was going to great lengths to try to get that recovered, why didn't they just go to that six-month tape?
Because that six-month tape is a disaster recovery tape that has all of the emails on it and is a very complicated tape to actually extract. emails for, but I have not seen any emails to explain why they didn't do it. So it would be difficult, but I don't know why they
didn't. But you said that the IRS was going to extraordinary lengths to give it to the recovery team, correct?
That's correct.
But it's backed up on tape.
For 6 months, yes.
And that was within the six-month window. So why didn't you get them off the backup?
All I know about that is that the backup tapes are disaster recovery tapes that put everything in one lump, and extracting individual emails out of that is very costly and difficult. And it was not the policy at the time.
Did anybody try?
I have no idea, indication that they did.
All right, a top story, 24 now till the top of the hour, remains the developing story involving the cover-up, the fraud, the lying surrounding the IRS, also the Supreme Court decision. Bad day for Barack Obama, the administration. Now, the Supreme Court unanimously striking down Obama's, quote, executive overreach for the 12th time since January of 2012. Then you got Daryl Issa has now subpoenaed 28 years of Lois Lerner's emails. I think he's getting pretty fed up. You've got emails now. We got IRS officials, including Lois Lerner, seeking to audit a GOP senator. And that, of course, being Senator Chuck Grassley. And what's needed in all of this, obviously, an independent investigator here. And it goes on and on and on. You know, what about the emails that weren't lost? Well, we find out, Jay Sekulow, that they're going after Charles Grassley.
Yeah, that email showed up. And, of course, they went after Senator, or tried to go after Senator Grassley. And what's fascinating about this, Sean, is Lois Lerner writes this email saying, let's turn this over to examination. Examination's the audit division. She's in charge of tax exempt. So why was she doing this other than to harass Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, who happened to be the ranking member of the Senate committee that oversees the IRS? Now, you know, the only thing that was positive in this line of inquiry was one of her deputies, probably not a political hack, just said, you can't do that. And, you know, that pretty much stopped it. But the fact that Lois Lerner was targeting now a United States senator who had oversight
by the way, the
of
language-
her.
The language she used was, perhaps we should refer to exam.
Right.
And you're right. It was the person writing back, Matthew Giuliano, who waved her off, saying an audit would be premature. Why? Because Grassley hadn't even accepted the invitation. I mean, that's how bizarre this got.
Yeah, she was trying to set Grassley up, basically, for something that hadn't even taken place yet. But this is what everybody that's listening needs to understand. So you have somebody in the tax-exempt division deciding that she's going to turn the examination division, which is not under her control, by the way, on a U.S. senator who happens to be the ranking member of the committee that oversees what she does. So this shows you that political motivations of Lois Lerner are beyond bizarre here. And I'll tell you, Sean, every day it is something else with this scandal. I think this is the biggest scandal in our lifetime politically, much bigger than Watergate.
You see, I think it's the biggest one in our lifetime, too. But putting this all together, probably, and we'll talk to another computer expert later in the program, it's going to be seemingly, according to the different experts I have spoken to, and I'm getting both sides of this. Some think we may never recover those emails. Others think, no way, it's totally possible to recover them.
Well, you know, I'm not a computer expert on that. I have obviously, we're litigating against the IRS, so we have talked to experts. They're not saying it's impossible. It could be, though, very, very difficult, and it may be impossible. You've got this whole situation with their supported backup system. But here's what's interesting, Sean. For the litigation, where we've sued the IRS for what they've done, the allegations we've made about these emails, if they don't produce the emails, if they're gone, those are deemed admitted. Which is against, of course, the United States position, the IRS's position, and Lois Lerner's position. So it's fine for our case. But my theory now is this, that as bad as the allegations are in our lawsuit, where we say there's collusion, there's fraud, there's unconstitutional action, targeting, statutory violations, on and on the list goes. As bad as that is, I think these emails were actually worse, and that's why they have vanished. I think they've done everything they can to bury them.
You know, Chuck Todd, I mean, just such a hack for the administration so often, literally raised the question, are there any actual real victims here? Well, wouldn't they be the conservative groups that were harassed, intimidated, denied their legal tax status, delayed their legal tax status for political purposes, and those that were being intimidated and those that were being silenced in the process because they couldn't get their organizations up and running because of this targeted delay?
Exactly. You're exactly correct. I heard Chuck Todd's comments, and let me give you two quick responses. Number one, what he fails to ignore is that you're right. American citizens had their constitutional rights violated, and the IRS admits they did it, number one. Number two, I'll tell you who's another victim of this, The American people, the taxpayers of the United States, who've lost confidence in an agency that can wreak havoc in one's life, but also the amount of money that the IRS is spending and wasting when they go after groups because of their political or free speech positions. But here's something else that Chuck Todd did. He tried to turn this, Sean, into a, we really should redo the whole Internal Revenue Code when it comes to these groups applying for tax-exempt status. There's one major problem with that, Chuck, with all due respect. That's not the job. It's not his job. That's the job. If they want to change the tax code, Congress does that. The president doesn't get to do that.
Not only that, it's not relevant to what the law was at the time. You know, for them to say after the fact, after the corruption has occurred, well, maybe this isn't a just law to begin with, is irrelevant.
Well, that's
because they are required to follow the law, which, by the way, leads us to the Supreme Court decision today. I mean, you know, this is no small deal when you have a 9-0 decision and the Supreme Court of the United States now for the 12th time since January of just 2012 is striking down Obama's executive overreach, which we have been pointing out on health care. You can't rewrite the law on your own unilaterally. He's supposed to go back to Congress.
Right.
He can't decide what laws he wants to enforce and what laws he doesn't want to enforce, i.e. immigration. He can't take away specific provisions in laws, and that means work requirements for welfare. And then we got the National Labor Relations Board, as they said today in the Supreme Court, you cannot make recess appointments when they are not, in fact, in recess.
Right. And the critical aspect, by the way, 9-0, as you pointed out, but the most critical portion of this case is that the Supreme Court of the United States, speaking through Justice Breyer, not a conservative member of the court, Justice Breyer writes that it is not the president's prerogative to determine whether there's a recess or not, that the Senate has rules, the House has rules, and they make that determination. By the way, he cites the United States Constitution for that, which is correct. We represented in that case, I represented the Speaker of the House because the House's legitimacy was put at stake by what the president was doing. But this is a huge decision, a unanimous decision of the Supreme Court that has told the president of the United States, when you appointed those recess appointments, purported recess appointments, not only were those unconstitutional, they are null and void as if they never existed, which means the, ready for this, Sean? 1,000 decisions issued by the NLRB during this period are also null and void.
I was at the State of the Union where the president said he'd bypass Congress. He just came out flat out and said it.
And this is the perfect example of him trying to do it. The Constitution allows for recess appointment. There's only one caveat. They have to be in recess. And the president doesn't get the prerogative of trying to basically work around the United States Constitution. When you've got an opinion by Justice Breyer, you know, I think it's pretty clear that the court here was sending a very loud and clear message. The president has authority to make routine recess appointments during a recess, but he doesn't get to determine when that recess is. That's the separate function of the United States Congress. This was a huge victory for the separation of powers, a huge victory for the American people, and a big loss for the president.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity discussing last week's Supreme Court ruling as well as the latest in the IRS scandal. We will keep you posted on both of those issues as well as our litigation on behalf of more than 40 conservative clients across the country. But folks, as we go to a break, it is time for the United States to stand up and say no more funding for terrorists, especially as it exists when we're talking about Hamas, this new unity government that Hamas is a part of, in light of the fact that they have, it has now come to light that they are responsible for the killing of these three Israeli teenagers, one of which is a dual American citizen. Folks, it is time for us to stop sending dollars to our enemies. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255. You can sign online as well at aclj.org. We'll be back with part two of Jay's interview with Sean Hannity after this break. But as we go to the break, go to your phones, 877-989-2255.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We are going to jump right back into Jay's interview with Sean Hannity. This will be part two, and immediately following this interview, you are going to hear a real-time reaction from Jay. He was on Fox News just a few minutes after the Hobby Lobby decision was released by the Supreme Court. He was on with Martha McCollum and Judge Napolitano giving his reaction. Also, folks, letting you know what this means for the seven clients that we represent who also filed against this HHS mandate. So you're going to hear that reaction from Jay immediately following part two of his interview with Sean Hannity. Let's go ahead and roll both of those now.
So what's next as it relates to the IRS scandal? Well, you know, what's the next step? And for the people that you talk to, is there anything that you think we can do?
Well, one thing that no one's addressed yet, and that is the emails for Lois Lerner that were sent outside of the agency, in other words, to the Federal Election Commission, to the Department of Justice, to who knows who else, those were received by individual people in their capacities with the government. Those emails should, the recipients should have the email. So what we're urging now is subpoenas be issued to the other agencies. We're going to do that in the civil litigation. There are ways to track down. I'm with you, Sean. I think, you know, you talk to different experts, you get different opinions of this. I think they have really tried to bury these emails. I mean, if it's humanly possible to destroy the records, I think they've done everything possible to destroy the records. That doesn't mean, by the way, that they're destroyed, but I think they've tried. But somebody received them. And you remember when they floated out just last week, oh, by the way, six other people involved, their computers crashed too? That, to me, was the test to see what was going to happen. What was the reaction of the American people going to be when we say the six other senior people involved in this, their emails, their computers crashed also. And they quickly kind of backtracked on that because they saw the reaction, even from their friends in the press, was not so good.
All right, Matt Kramer is on our newsmaker line. He is a tech expert, a friend of mine from many years ago in Atlanta, and listens on our affiliate down there, News Talk WSB. Matt, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so from your perspective, and I've actually gone to you many times over the years with computer questions, you and Mr. Trainer, another friend of ours, and you always have the answer. What is your thought on whether or not these can be retrieved?
Well, even if the IRS had followed the best practices at the time, there's not necessarily a guarantee that they could be retrieved, but everything I've seen tells me that they really didn't make an effort to use the best practices to try to retrieve them.
Mm-hmm. Now there was
the fact that they wiped the hard drives tells me that no one really wanted to.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
With regard to getting the information that from the recipients of the email, Sean, there's subpoena power because some of these went to the Department of Justice. Some of them to the Federal Election Commission. And if they come back and say theirs were wiped out too and they did not have backup or, you know, there was some mishap, I think at that point, not only do you have to have a special prosecutor, you have to have a special prosecutor that's looking it through the lens of criminal law here, that this is a cover-up of unbelievable proportions. Because if those are vanished, and it's not that complicated to track them down because you just send out a subpoena to the FEC, all Lerner emails from this period of time. Same thing to the Department of Justice. Same thing to the White House, by the way, from Nicole Flax. You know, Jay Carney came out and said, oh, the White House had no emails from Lois Lerner. Yeah, we found out the day before, Jay Carney, that the contact was the chief of staff from the IRS, not, Lois Lerner. But Lois Flax had dozens of meetings or hundreds of meetings, and also emails going back and forth. So I think we're going to have to track the recipients down. But, Sean, I want to comment on the best practices thing. This is not the best practices. These were the worst practices. If this is the way the IRS operates, shut them down and start all over again.
Well, the justices have adjourned for this entire term, and they have left us with two very big decisions today. Jay Sekulow is chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. Judge Andrew Napolitano is Fox News senior judicial analyst. I only have a little bit of time, so I want to get right to it. Jay, tell me a little bit about this, what you think of this decision, and also, you know, the fact that it's sort of been put back in the White House's lap in terms of the responsibility to pay for these four other drugs.
Well, I think, number one, no one should be saying that this is a narrow decision. Justice Ginsburg says it's startling in its scope. Now, I think that startling may be an overstatement, but the fact of the matter is the court applied the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and said these closely held companies have those rights to religious freedom under the act. And that's number one, very significant. Number two, I think what the court recognized as far as there were exemptions given by the Obama administration to all sorts of organizations, from labor unions to others. So to deny it to closely held companies that happen to have religious convictions was, in the majority of the court's view, not proper. And I think the court, not only did it get it right, I've got seven cases pending this, and two at the Supreme Court right now that will now be ruled in our favor. So we're thrilled with this. I think this is a huge decision, Martha, and I don't think anybody should be selling it short simply because it didn't reach the issue of First Amendment freedoms. Yeah. Whenever you have a statute, the court always goes to the statute first.
Good point. That's what they did here. About the exemptions that have been given for lots of reasons, and that you feel these people deserve it for their religious freedom issues. Let me go to Judge Andrew Napolitano for a moment, then we'll come back to you, Jay. What about the significance of Justice Roberts and his role in all of this, or lack thereof, in some might say?
Well, the Chief Justice wrote nothing today. He didn't write anything on the labor union case in Illinois, and he didn't write anything on this one. But on this one, Hobby Lobby, his role is very significant. There he is on the screen. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court wrote the majority opinion upholding the constitutionality of Obamacare. For him to join the majority today, striking down the contraceptive mandate for closely held corporations, which, by the way, also means striking it down for sole proprietorships and nonprofits as well, is very, very telling. It's a little mysterious why we didn't get an explanation from him, but it's very telling. He's saying in his own mind, when he signed off on this 2 years ago, he didn't sign off on this part of it.
He got a lot of heat from conservatives for that. Jay, your thoughts on the fact that Justice Roberts has said nothing? Jay Sekulow?
Well, he said something. He voted with the majority, and that's how you got to 5-4. So the fact that he didn't issue a separate opinion, I don't find particularly significant. I think what's significant here is a majority of the Supreme Court said the Obama administration was wrong in compelling business owners that have convictions, religious convictions, to check those at the door. And five justices of the Supreme Court said you can't do that in these kind of circumstances. And it's a win. You know, I've had cases, Martha, where once the Chief Justice asked me, he said, how do you want this case to go? And I had lost the case below. I said, somewhere I'd like it to say reversed. This was a huge win today. Justice Roberts' vote was one of the five that got it there.
Judge Napolitano, Jay Sekulow, thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Folks, again, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity, as well as a discussion with Judge Napolitano and Martha McCollum. We will keep you posted on both of those issues in the days to come. But listen, folks, as we close the broadcast today, there are a couple of very fundamental reasons that we should not be supporting Hamas. First of all, it should be one of the most basic tenets of foreign policy that any administration would have, that you don't give aid to your enemy. You don't give aid to someone who is trying to kill you. And folks, the second reason is very, very simple. Providing aid to Hamas violates U.S. law. It's as simple as that. U.S. law says Hamas should not be getting a dollar of our taxpayer money. It is time to make sure that we start complying with that U.S. law. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Folks, if we don't start showing some strength in the Middle East, we are going to get more of what we are getting over these last couple of days. If you want to say no more funding for Hamas, call now 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. We'll be right back.
stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the president and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.